This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The reason that we are mentioning the stories of the prophets and messengers, so we could contemplate, think about the stories of the prophets and messengers, reflect upon the stories of the prophets and the messengers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ. That are those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guided. فَبُهُدَاهُمْ وَقْتَدِهِ. Through their guidance and with their guidance, and follow their guidance so you could be guided. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in the Quran al-Karim. My brothers and my sisters, we've spoken about the first creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said that the first creation of Allah was the pen. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the preserved tablet, and Allah commanded the pen to write everything on that tablet. What's going to happen to the end of time? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created many creations after He created His first creations, the pen and the tablet. And amongst the creations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created, the angels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made out of light. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created the jinn that Allah created them from a flame of fire. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind. And the first creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the human beings is Adam alayhi salam. Before we speak about the creation of Adam alayhi salam, from amongst the creations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had also created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the paradise and the hellfire. So the paradise and the hellfire, both of them were created before the creation of Adam alayhi salam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the paradise and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the hellfire, and obviously they are at a place that Allah knows better. They are there. They exist. Even now, as we speak, they exist. Where? We don't know. They do have a place. They do have a place. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better where the paradise and the hellfire are. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the paradise and Allah created the hellfire, the paradise and the hellfire started to debate with one another. They started to debate with one another. The hellfire saying, I am the fire. I'm the one that crushes and I'm the one that burns and I'm the one that tortures and I'm the one that melts. And the paradise, the one saying, but I am the beauty and I am this and I am there. I'm the comfort and the lavish life and the luxury life. So they were debating with one another. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the paradise, you are my beauty. You are my luxury and comfort. I'll admit in you anyone I want. And he looked at the hellfire, he said, you are my punishment. I will punish whoever I want in you. Subhanallah. The paradise is there. The hellfire is there. Where? Allah knows better. But they do exist. And they did exist before the creation of Adam alayhi salam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the paradise and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the hellfire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Jibreel alayhi salam to go and look and inspect the paradise. So he went and looked and inspected the paradise. After he saw the paradise, how beautiful the paradise is, how luxury the paradise is, how comfortable the paradise is, he came back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, Ya Allah, how beautiful is that? Anyone that would know about the paradise want to be in the paradise. Anyone would know anything about the paradise or find out the paradise wants to be in the paradise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounded the paradise with al-makarih. Al-makarih, hardship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounded the paradise with hardship. Which means for you to enter the paradise, you have to encounter hardships. You have to go through hardships. You're not going to get the paradise for free. You want to enter the paradise, you need to experience some hardships. That's why the salah is a form of hardship. The siyam is a form of hardship. Different scales, different levels, but it is hardship at the end of the day. Maybe some people don't look at it as a hardship. Alhamdulillah, that's a high level of iman. But in reality, it is hardship. Sitting, where you're sitting right now, that's a form of hardship. Keeping away from the haram, something that you desire, that's hardship. So for you to enter the Jannah, you need to go and you need to undertake the path of hardships. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounded the paradise with hardships. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounded the paradise with hardships, Allah told Jibreel alayhi salam to go and inspect and look at the paradise once again. But this time, he went and saw it surrounded with hardships. So he went and saw it, came back and said, Ya Allah, I fear that no one will end up in the paradise. Ya Rab, I fear after he surrounded the paradise with hardships and you made the only way for you to enter the Jannah is hardships, I'm concerned and I'm afraid that no one's going to end up in the Jannah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, go and see and inspect the hellfire. So he went and saw and inspected the hellfire. He looked at the hellfire and he saw the hellfire and how the hellfire is eating itself. How the hellfire is eating itself. So much so that the hellfire came and complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying to Allah, Ya Rab, I can't bear myself anymore. The hate, I can't even handle it myself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it two breaths. One in summer, one in winter. That's what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So when Jibreel alayhi salam went and inspected and saw the hellfire, and he saw the punishment of Allah azza wa jalla fire and how the hellfire is just melting and burning and boiling, he came back to Allah. He said, Ya Rab, anyone that would know anything about this hellfire would not want to get near this hellfire. He doesn't want to get into the hellfire. Who wants to get into the hellfire? Who wants to be in the hellfire? Anyone that would know anything about the hellfire doesn't want to be in the hellfire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then later on surrounded the hellfire with desires. Which means when you follow your desire, you follow what you want, you follow your lust, you follow what you desire, you end up in the hellfire. And subhanAllah, that's our natural inclination. We like to fulfill our desires. So after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounded the hellfire with the desires, so for people to follow their desires, they'll end up in the hellfire. Allah Azza wa Jalla told Jibreel to go and inspect and look at the hellfire. After now, Allah surrounded it with the desires. So Jibreel alayhi salam went and saw and inspected the hellfire, and he saw it now surrounded by the desires. He came back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, Ya Rab, I'm concerned and I'm afraid that everyone end up in the hellfire. Ya Rab, I'm afraid and concerned that everyone end up in the hellfire because people love to fulfill their desire. It's part of our natural instinct, part of our natural inclination. We love to fulfill our desires. Every single one of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us this way. And that's why our biggest test, my brothers and my sisters, is for you to control your desire in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so you could end up in the paradise. That's hardships. So after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounded the paradise with hardships, Jibreel said, Ya Allah, I'm afraid that no one will end up in the paradise. And after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounded the hellfire with desire, he said, Ya Allah, I'm afraid that everyone will end up in the hellfire. So the hellfire and the paradise, hellfire, Jannah and Nar, they were created before the creation of Adam alayhi salam. And amongst the creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created before the creation of Adam are the jinn and the angels. And we mentioned the story of the jinn and the angels. It all starts with a dialogue. It all starts with a dialogue between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels. The creation of Adam alayhi salam started with a dialogue between Allah, the Lord of the universe, and the angels. Now we've mentioned before, the angels are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created. They have brains and powers, very powerful powers and strength. But they are in constant state in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They worship Allah, never disobey Allah azza wa jal. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentions that in the Quran al-Kareem. So the creation of Adam alayhi salam starts with a dialogue between Allah and the angels, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the angels, and keep in mind, when Allah addresses the angels hear Allah, but do not see Allah. Am I clear? No one sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No human being, no angel, no jinn see Allah or saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah addresses the angels, and the angels are listening to Allah Azza wa Jalla. They don't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. When Allah, your Lord, addressed the angels and said to them, I'll be creating a khalifa on the face of this earth. What's a khalifa? The scholars have a number of interpretations, a number of meanings of khalifa. Some scholars had interpreted Khalifa as a deputy of Allah on the face of this earth, which means someone who upholds the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the mandates of Allah azza wa jalla on the face of this earth. Another opinion means Khalifa is a successor, which means a generation will come, then another generation will succeed this generation, then another generation will come and succeed this generation, then another generation will come and succeed this generation and becomes a succession. That's what Khalifa is. That's why Abu Bakr is the successor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Khalifat Rasulullah. And Umar ibn al-Khattab is Khalifat Rasulullah, the successor of the successor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and continues to be that way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the angels, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the angels, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had addressed the angels, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told the angels that I'll be creating a khalifa, a deputy that will uphold my obligations, my rules, a khalifa, they succeed one another, a khalifa, whatever it is, different interpretations. But this khalifa, at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it clear to the angels, he's a human being. So what was the reaction of the angels? Now the angels don't understand and can't see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees. They don't understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Angels are angels, servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, angels who are constantly worshipping Allah azza wa jal. They were shocked, they were surprised. Especially when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them the structure of this human being, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to them how Allah azza wa jalla will be creating this human being and what this human being is made of and the mentality and the mindset of this human being, the angels were shocked. They said, ya Rab, like, why would you even want to create someone that would cause mischief on earth? قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَا يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. Not objecting. Angels don't even have the rights to object. They're just asking out of ignorance. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned to the angels that Allah azza wa jalla will be creating a human being, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them what this human being will be made out of, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be creating this human being out of, and the structure and the dynamics and the fabric of this human being, the angels were shocked. They said, ya Rab, why would you want to create a creation that would disobey you? Why would you want to create a creation that would commit the haram? Why would you want to create a creation that would cause disorder and mischief on earth? Why would you want to do that, ya Rabbil Alameen? Wa nahnu نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. And we, the angels, we are the creation of yours, ya Rabbil Alameen. We are the angels that constantly worship you, ya Allah, and never ever stop worshipping you. وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. We are constantly glorifying you, ya Allah. We are constantly worshipping you, ya Allah. We are constantly remembering you, ya Allah. So why would you want to create a creation that would forget you, would not worship you, would not remember you, and at the same time a creation that would disobey you, a creation that would do the wrong things, and you've got us? Why would you want to do that, ya Rabbil Alameen? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied back and he says, قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know what you don't know. I know what you don't know. I am the Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the Lord. He knows what the angels don't know. At the end of the day, with all the powers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given and granted the angels, their powers are limited. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's powers are not limited. Their knowledge is limited. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is not limited. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke and addressed the angels, and he told the angels what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is planning to do. He's planning to create this creation. This creation is called a human being, which is you. I don't have to talk about you and tell you who you are. You know yourself. But as much as you know yourself, you don't know the reality of yourself. And subhanAllah, this shows how limited our knowledge is when it comes to understanding ourselves, let alone for us to understand our creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the angels and he said that I'll be creating a khalifa, a deputy, a successor on the face of this earth. قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءُ. Allah, what would you want to create? And they are asking a question, not opposing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is planning to do. Oh Allah, why would you want to create a creation that would cause mischief and evilness on the face of this earth? And you have us that worship you constantly, remember you constantly, invoke you constantly, and always glorifying you constantly. Why would you want to get a creation that will do wrong things and you've got us that are always doing the right thing? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continued with his plan. What's the plan of Allah? Is to create a new creation. This new creation is different to the previous creations. You've got the angels made out of light. And you've got the jinn made out of fire. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to create this human being. Made out of clay. Made out of mud. Not dust. Dust mixed with water. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions teen and lazib, sticky, muddy, clay. Allah describes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us detailed description of this clay. So it's muddy and it's sticky and it's black. Muddy, sticky, black, dark. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned or decreed to create Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Jibreel alayhi salam to bring soils from different parts of the world. To bring soil from different parts of the world. That's why amongst human beings you've got the white and the black, and you've got the dark and the tan, and the light and the fair, and then you've got the blonde, and you've got the black hair, and then you've got the red hair. And then you've got this, and you've got that, and then you've got the one who is angry, and you've got the one that's happy, and you've got the one that's grumpy, and you've got the one that's friendly, and you've got the one that's moody, and you've got the one this, and you've got the one that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam from different parts of the world. Imagine. And some people are thinking, Sheikh, from which part? I don't know. Could be from Asia, from Africa, from Europe, from Australia, from anywhere around the world. It could be from every single part. It could be from every corner. What we know in this hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Jibreel alayhi salam to compile different parts of soil from all around the world. And Allah azza wa jalla put it together. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him from what? Allah created him from the different parts of the different soils from around the world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that to be a sticky, black, dark mud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّن طِينٍ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the angels and said to them, I'll be creating a human being from teen. What's teen? Clay. What's clay? Soil mixed with water. Soil mixed with water. So you can't say it's dust or sand. No. It's dust or sand mixed with water. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّن طِينٍ. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِّن طِينًا لَازِبٍ. لَازِبٍ, sticky. From a sticky clay. From a sticky clay. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِّن صَلْصَالٍ مِّن حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونٍ. And we indeed have created this human being from a sticky, dark mud. Hama'in masnoon, altered dark mud. So it was dark. Not necessarily that Adam alayhi salam was created to be dark in his color of his skin. No. Because we are all the creation of Adam alayhi salam, unfair, and he's dark and this and that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam from a sticky, muddy, dark, altered clay. Look at the details that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Kareem. Muhammad didn't make up this. Muhammad had no knowledge of this at all until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it to him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, furthermore, He says, and we had created you and we framed you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala framed you. So it's not like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put that clay and that soil and that mud and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it together and let it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fabricated it. Allah framed it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala framed it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala framed it with His hands. Hands what? Limbs? A'udhu billah. Allah has hands in a way that suits Him and glory. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Himself, we affirm that in the way that suits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah said we had created Adam with our hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam with His hands. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that very clear in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better about His hands, but we affirm the verse and we believe in the hands of Allah azza wa jalla in a way that suits the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beyond the imagination of mankind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem that we had created Adam alayhi salam with our hands and we framed him. So Allah framed him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that framed his face. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that framed his limbs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that framed his body. And Allah azza wa jalla is the one that framed his legs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that framed his feet. Allah framed him. Allah created him. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him just like a vase, a statue, an empty, hollow statue. So Adam alayhi salam was there, made out of dark, sticky clay. And Allah framed him. Allah framed his face, his eyes, his nose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala framed his shoulders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala framed his limbs and hands. Allah framed his body. Allah framed his legs, his feet, his thigh. Allah framed him. And Allah kept him like this. Empty and hollow. For a long period of time. Some narrations say 40 days. 40 days. Other narrations say this. Allahu alam. And you know what? I said a long period of time. It could be long, it could be short. Some scholars said a long period of time. But Allah left him for a period of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left him framed like a statue, for a period of time. When you get a vase, and I'm sure you've got a vase at home, or a statue, and it's a statue made out of clay, and it's dry. What happens if you push it? Starts to make a tinkling noise, yes? You have a vase, you push it, what happens? Starts to make a tinkling noise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in the Quran Kareem. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ كَالْفَخَّارِ We had created him and he had that noise, that tinkling noise before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blew in him. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him life, he was like a statue that if you push him, he's going to move sideways and make what? Tick, 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 tick. Allah mentions that in the Quran Kareem. مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ كَالْفَخَّارِ That's what صَلْصَالٍ كَالْفَخَّارِ is. That he was a statue, a hollow, empty statue. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought life in him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left him empty. And he left him there for a period of time. That some narrations say 40 days, Allahu alam. But it's not a very strong hadith that talks about a 40 days. But what's authentic is what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that when Allah created Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam 60 arms length height. One arm length is 50 centimeters. So 60 arms length, what's that equal to? 30 meters. That's authentic. Allah created Adam alayhi salam, not your height or my height. If you see someone 2 meters these days, well, everyone wants to take a selfie with him. Tallest man in the world. The tallest man in the world, I don't know, but I don't think exceeds 2.7. Imagine 30 meters. You know what's 30 meters? That's about 12 stories. Or 13 stories or levels. Adam alayhi salam was that height. 30 meters height. Some narrations say he was also 7 arms length width, which means it was 3.5-4 meters width. Imagine 30 meters by 3 or 4 meters width, 30 meters high, 3 or 4 meters width. That's Adam alayhi salam. That's why another hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that when people enter the Jannah, they will enter the Jannah in accordance to the height of Adam alayhi salam. So when you enter the Jannah, you're going to be 30 meters high. When you enter the Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make you 30 meters high. Allah created Adam alayhi salam 60 arms length, which is equivalent to 30 meters. Some scholars, they say, no. Not our arm's length. My arm's length is 50 centimeters. Adam's arm's length. If you want to calculate 60 arm's length of Adam's arm's length, maybe Adam's arm's length, each arm of Adam alayhi salam is probably 3 meters. So 60 arm's length times it by 3 meters, that means we're probably 100 meters tall. Some scholars have that opinion. So they go with the arm's length of Adam alayhi salam, not the 50 centimeters arm's length. But let's stick to the arms. 30 meters is good. It's good enough. Alhamdulillah, I'm happy with 30 meters. 30 meters is good enough. Think about it. Can you imagine if it was 100 meters height? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make someone, inshallah, 1,000 meters high. Allah can do whatever He wants. But as I mentioned, what's known and recognized amongst the scholars that one arm length is equivalent to 50 centimeters. But as I mentioned, some scholars said, no, not our arm's length, Adam's arm's length. Which makes it in the meters, not in the centimeters anymore. But let's stick to the 50 centimeters one arm's length, which means 60 arms length are equivalent to 30 meters height. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam 60 arms length. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, from that day, from the day of Adam alayhi salam, the creation of Adam alayhi salam, and after Adam alayhi salam, his progeny and offsprings started to shrink. So from the time of Adam alayhi salam, people start to shrink. Their height start to drop until what you've got these days. So we are considered to be a little tiny people from our predecessors, if you really want to think about it. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, 60 arms length. From the time of Adam alayhi salam up until now, people's height start to shrink. So people start to get shorter until the height that we've got now. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba, their height was very close to our height, if it's not the same height. But prior to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when talks about the other stories of Ad and Thamud, we'll be talking about them, they used to have very tall people. They used to have very high heights. So the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that. And he also mentioned Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finished the creation of Adam alayhi salam in the last hour of Friday. In the last hour of Friday. And when does Friday end? By Maghrib. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finished the creation of Adam alayhi salam just before Maghrib on Friday. And we mentioned that last week and we alluded to that. So this is the creation of Adam alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala framed Adam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him 60 arms length high. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept him empty and hollow for a period of time. As I mentioned, this week narrations that say 40 days. And because he was empty and hollow and he was like a statue, and he was a statue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that. He was like a statue. He was like a salsalin kal fakhar. So he had that tinkling noise if someone touched him. Who used to touch him? The angels. The angels used to come up to Adam. Allah left him there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left Adam alayhi salam empty. Allah framed him. Allah created him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give him life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left and kept Adam alayhi salam empty. So he was going around seeing him. The angels, they wanted to check him out. What's this? Something new. Something new in the neighborhood. Well, no, who's this guy? What is he? What is he made of? That's the first time we see a creation like this. We've experienced angels made out of light. We've experienced jinn made out of fire. But we've never experienced this creation that's made out of clay. What is he? So they used to go and touch him. And when they touch him, what happens? Makes this tinkling noise. And when they used to touch him and he used to make that tinkling noise, there's some narrations that say that the angels used to get scared, petrified. They used to run away. But who used to stick around? Iblis. Iblis wasn't from the angels. We mentioned that last week. He was amongst the angels. He's from the jinn. But he was living amongst the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him because he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the previous world. Iblis didn't like the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is creating this creation. He wasn't too happy about it. It's not up to him at the end of the day, but he wasn't happy. He was so envious of the creation of Adam alayhi salam. He wasn't too happy to see that there's another creation that will be competing with him. So Iblis will come around and check Adam alayhi salam. He checks him out. He looks from the side, the other side. He touches him. You know what? He used to go through his nose and come from his bottom. Then, what did Iblis say? He is hollow. He's empty from the inside. And when something is empty, it's easier to break. So he said, because he's empty from the inside, he's easier to break. Subhanallah. You know, sometimes you don't think about those things. Iblis, la'natullah alayh, realized that Adam alayhi salam is shallow. He's hollow from inside. He's empty from inside. And because he's empty, what happens there? If something is empty, if something is not stuffed, it's very easy to break it. So Iblis realized that Adam alayhi salam is empty from the inside. So he said, هَذَا خَلْقٌ لَا يَتَمَالَكُ. This creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a vulnerable creation. Fragile. Easy to break. He knew the secret here. Obviously not all of it. Okay, but he knew, okay, the structure of this human being is a very fragile structure. He's empty from the inside. Different to the jinn. The jinn are not empty from the inside. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them out of fire. So they are full from the inside and the outside out of fire. But the human being, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first framed him and created him, he was empty from the inside. And Iblis, la'natullah alayhi, used to encourage the angels to come near Adam alayhi salam. He said, don't get scared from him. Like he's trying to agitate the angels against Adam alayhi salam. He's trying to turn the angels against Adam alayhi salam because he wasn't happy about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating this new creation, that this creation will compete in worshipping Allah and pleasing Allah azza wa jalla. Subhanallah. Iblis. Iblis, yes. His biggest issue is not you. His biggest issue is not that you are there and you exist. His biggest issue is that you existed and you are competing with him in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he became so envious to the extent that he hates you so much that he'll do anything to prove that you are not worth living. You are not worth living. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept him there for a period of time. Then the time came in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to blow into Adam alayhi salam, to breathe into Adam alayhi salam. فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels, the moment that I create him and then I blow in him or breathe in him, I command you all, after you see him come to life, that you prostrate to him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first created Adam alayhi salam. He framed him, kept him there for a period of time. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blew into Adam alayhi salam, or breathed into Adam alayhi salam. And that's where Adam alayhi salam came to life. And even we have details in the stages of Adam alayhi salam coming to life. In a narration that's been narrated by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in this hadith, it says that when Adam alayhi salam, when Allah azza wa jalla blew into Adam alayhi salam or breathed into Adam alayhi salam, the soul started to come from his head from the top to the bottom. So life started to enter his body starting from top to bottom. It didn't go in all at once. It started from top, his head, his shoulders, his chest, his stomach, his thighs, his feet. It started from top. Life started entering the body of Adam alayhi salam, starting from the head all the way to the bottom. It's been narrated that when Adam alayhi salam first sensed life coming into his eyes, he was in the Jannah. He was in the paradise. So now his eyes started to sight. And what was the first thing that he saw? He saw the beauty of the Jannah and the beautiful fruits of the Jannah. Subhanallah, straight away. Captivated his attention. The moment that sight came into life in the eyes of Adam alayhi salam, straight away Adam saw the fruits of the Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Beautiful fruits. And then life started to enter gradually into the body of Adam alayhi salam until life reached to his soul. When I say life, his soul. When his life and soul reached his stomach, Adam alayhi salam desired the fruits of the Jannah already. Relax. I mean, the process is not even finished yet. So what did Adam alayhi salam wanted to do? Before the soul and life had reached his feet, Adam wanted to jump and go and get the fruits. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Mankind is created out of haste. Rush, rush, rush. Always wants everything quick, quick, quick. You want to start a job today, you want to become a millionaire tomorrow. You want to train today and you want to be, mashallah, Arnold Schwarzenegger tomorrow. You want to train and you want to be the best footy player within one day and night. You want to read a book and you want to become a scholar within 24 hours. Subhanallah. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. You want everything. Rush, rush, rush. You want everything to happen. Flick of a finger. You want everything to happen now. You want everything just in a straight away. Adam alayhi salam, before his soul and before life had even reached his feet, he's jumping. He wants to go and get the fruits of the Jannah. Yeah, Adam, relax. Wait. The fruits are there. It's not going to run away. But subhanallah, the nature of mankind, natural inclination, the desires. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in the Quran Kareem. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam, and then life and the soul entered the entire body of Adam, now Adam alayhi salam came to life. Before that, he was just a statue. A hollow, empty statue. But now Adam alayhi salam came to life. Alayhi salam. And now he's a human being. He's a living human being. He can see, he can hear, he can taste, he can smell, he can touch, he can walk. He could do whatever he wants to do. Say, now he's a living human being. Before that was just a statue. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left him there for a period of time before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him into life. So Adam alayhi salam now is a living human being. One of the first things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels to prostrate to Adam. Allah, that's what Allah told them. Before even he blew into Adam alayhi salam, he said, the moment I bring him into life, I want you all to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. And every single creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heaven to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. فَسَجَدُوا كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Quran Kareem. All the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all the angels and even the creations that we don't even know of, in the heavens, they all prostrated to Adam alayhi salam. A prostration of respect, not worship. We prostrate to Allah, but our prostration to Allah is what? Worship. The prostration of the angels to Adam alayhi salam was a prostration of respect and worshipping Allah, not Adam alayhi salam. Glorifying Allah, not Adam alayhi salam. And that was allowed in the previous nations until the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited that. The Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbidden that. But before, people used to prostrate. And the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, his brothers and his father as a prophet and messenger also prostrated to Yusuf alayhi salam, a prostration of respect, not prostration of worship. So the angels prostrated to Adam alayhi salam, a prostration of respect, not a prostration of worship. Every single creation of Allah in the heavens prostrated to Adam alayhi salam after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him to life, except one. Illa Iblis. Iblis refused. Said, no. Prostrate. I'm not going to prostrate to you. I command you to prostrate. I'm not going to prostrate to someone that you created out of mud and you created me out of fire. I'm better than him. Subhanallah. Pride. Arrogance. That's our topic next week. But before we talk about our topic next week, something amazing took place. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wiped with his hand the back of Adam alayhi salam. How did Allah wipe with his hand the back of Adam? That's not the point. And that's not what you should be thinking of. You believe in it, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did wipe with his hand the back of Adam alayhi salam. What happened when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wiped the back of Adam alayhi salam? The entire progeny and offsprings of Adam alayhi salam to the day of judgment appeared in front of Adam, including yourself and myself. They all appeared in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in front of Adam alayhi salam. The entire progeny and offspring and children of Adam alayhi salam to the day of judgment. Muslims, non-Muslims, black, white, whatever it is, every single human being from the time of Adam to the day of judgment all appeared in front of Adam alayhi salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of Adam, what did he say to the offspring and the children of Adam? Alastu bi rabbikum? Aren't I your Lord? Aren't I your Lord? Am I not your Lord? So everyone responded back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including you and me. Bala, indeed, ya Allah, you are our Lord. I could see in your faces, some people look, I can't remember that. I know. Some people look at it and say, Shaykh Allah, what are you talking about? I can't remember that. I can't even remember that myself. You know why you can't remember that? What do you used to remember? Your brains. Allah did not give you that brain back then. When you come into this world, Allah gives you that brain. That's why you can't remember. So there's a chip that's missing. That chip is only installed when you come into this dunya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wiped with his hand the back of Adam alayhi salam, and the entire children and progeny of Adam alayhi salam appeared before Adam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them all, aren't I your Lord? So they all responded back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so don't come to me in the hereafter and say that we disbelieved in you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had really taken a covenant, an agreement from the children of Adam. But subhanAllah, you look around now, people are looking at Allah, say, I don't even believe you exist. I don't believe in the existence of God. God doesn't exist. It's that big bang theory. Something bang just happened. Allahu A'lam. Yes. But before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already taken the ahd, the covenant from them. Aren't I your Lord? Yes, ya Allah. Everyone said yes. Every single human being. And from the amazing things that took place, from amongst the offsprings and the children of Adam alayhi salam, there was one that caught the attention of Adam alayhi salam because of a light that appeared on his forehead. So Adam said, ya Rab, who's that? Who's that? Tell me, ya Rab, who's that? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, that's one of your children by the name of Dawood. One of your children by the name of Dawood. He objects and he says, I've still got 40 years. When Adam alayhi salam is on his deathbed and the angels are coming to take his soul, he'll say to them, what's going on here? I'm supposed to be living an extra 40 years. So Allah will remind him, did you remember what happened to the other 40 years? That's another story we'll talk about inshallah next week. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the entire progeny and offspring of Adam alayhi salam appear right in front of Adam alayhi salam, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the ahd, the covenant and the promise from the progeny of Adam alayhi salam to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has against every single human being. You already promised me they're going to worship me and believe in me. So don't come in the hereafter and say, I didn't know anything about it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish Iblis la'natullahi alayh for disobeying Allah azza wa jal. Which brings us to the second episode, inshallah, that we'll be talking about next week, about Allah, Iblis, and Adam alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who listen and hear and act upon what they listen and hear. Subhanak Allahumma hamdak nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khair.